Well, good morning on this, the 6th of May. My goodness, who would have thought? What are we in? 5 weeks? Is it 5 weeks now? 6 weeks? We're in a good bit anyway into our quarantine and our social distancing. I know it might sound a little bit trite and maybe a little bit well-worn, but we might not be able to meet face-to-face, but we can meet in the Spirit around God's Word and singing His praises and around the preaching of it. And in prayer, of course, as well. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. So let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength. Lord, for all the many helps that you've given us, Lord, even just for being able to open our eyes and get out of our beds this morning. I pray you, Lord, for each one of your children right the way across the world. I pray you, Father, at this time that cool heads would prevail, that people would behave responsibly, that even at this time, Lord, that souls would be saved and that the borders of churches would be broadened. And to that end, Lord, I pray for our own little bit of it here in Londonderry, stroke Derry, stroke Maiden City. I pray you, Lord, for Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank. I pray you for their private prayer requests, Lord, for John and for Will and for home, for his mom, Christine, and his granny, Mary Ann, for Reggie and William and Rachel and Lily Ann too, Father. Please, I pray you look after these souls. Remember too, Lord Leonard. Lord, we don't know what's been going on in that sheltered accommodation, that home that he's in down there in Microfell, but I pray you, Lord, if it would be your will that you would save his life at this time. You know that he's saved, Lord, and it took an awful lot to bring him there, but please, Lord, you pray your will be done. We remember Rita and pray for comfort and forbearance for her, for strength and wisdom for her two daughters, for Elaine and Hilary. Pray you, Lord, too, for Esther. And I know, Lord, she's got to have her kids and our grandkids upon our heart and mind. And I pray you, Lord, that you would work in all of their lives to save souls and keep them pointed in the right direction. Remember Christy. Lord, I know he'd be thinking a lot of Taylor. And I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon that relationship. I pray you, Lord, in you, that you would take time to build it and preserve it and keep it in the face of all the things the world, the flesh and the devil would throw at it. And I pray for Taylor's dad, for Terry, Lord, for his salvation. Remember too, Lord, at this time, Brother Norman. I know, Lord, he's keeping himself busy. I pray your good hand upon him for his affairs and for sorting things out, Lord. I pray you would protect and comfort him. And Lord, we pray most importantly that your will would be done. And that regardless of our situation, Lord, that we would keep our eyes upon you. For Pat and Steve as well. For brothers and sisters, for sons and daughters, Lord, for illnesses, I pray your good hand upon them, Lord. Especially upon wee Henry at this time, Pat and Steve's latest grandson. Please, Lord, look after them. Remember too the Quigley family, Lord, and pray that you would take this opportunity to speak to souls about their eternity. Pray you too for Carol, I know she has her aches and pains, and I pray you, Lord, that you would give her a portion of grace, or Lord, even a wee healing touch about that. I know mine have disappeared this past few months, but that's probably because I've been doing nothing, and I thank you for that. But please help Carol at this time. John too, Lord. I pray you, Father, that you would even now increase his ability to learn Bible verses, and I almost hate to say that, Lord, because it means he'd be like lapping me a couple of times when it comes to Bible verses. But Father, some people are just good at things, and I pray that you'd bless John as he takes time in your word. We pray you'd be with Stephen as well, Lord, and help him at this time. And we don't forget the Church of the Maboy Road. Pray you for Norman and Noel and Joan. Pray you for salvation for Jane and Corey, Lord. Pray you, Lord, too, for Terence McLaughlin, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Henry and Evelyn and their family, especially their wee grandson with the cystic fibrosis, Isaac. Lord, please, I pray you just touch that wee man's life. Remember too, Lord, Sally and Sammy and Kate. I pray your good hand upon them, Father, even now, that you would give them just a wee taste of an example of your power and heal them, and a touch of grace, Lord, and salvation. Remember too, Alan and Pearl. Pray that you'd bless your saints, Lord. For my dad, for Maslam and Georgina, and especially for their two sons, for their salvation. Lord, there are so many. For Brother Stan and the rest of the family up in Bangor. For Brother Ed and Joan and Amy and David and Heather. For Brother Cosgrave, Lord, we pray your good hand upon him as well. For Brother Forrest, Lord, at this time in his life, please, Lord, give him a measure of grace. Just touch his body. If it would be your will, Lord, set him back on his feet and prepare him to go again. But, Lord, we pray that your will would be done. For the Christian Institute, for Kids for Schools, for Open Doors, and for all the Christian outreaches, and I do mean Christian, Lord, that love souls and want them saved. Please preserve our brethren in countries that hate you, Lord. And please, Lord, turn even the hardest of hearts to Christ. To you, to Christianity. Lord, there's so much going on. Please give our world leaders the wisdom to rule properly. Please bless Israel, Lord, and just Stuart and Jennifer and Hannah's on my mind. Might as well throw in Stuart and Iona too. Please, Lord, I pray you, save souls, bless souls, Lord. Edify souls. Lord, please populate the mansions in heaven. Just thank you for loving us for this time. Pray that you would bless us, Lord, in this service as we lift up our prayer requests and petitions and our praises and our thanks. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All righty. Amen. We're going to begin with 143, Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance is 143. And as we go, by now you should know the score. If at any time, if you're listening to this and you don't have one of our hymn books and you want one, let me know. You can contact me. If you're listening to this on the website, you have my email address. Contact me and we'll get you a hymn book. It's Soul, what is it? I have it right here. It's Soul Stirring Songs and Hymns. And you can sing along with us, or do you know what? Just hit the pause button and go and find the song in your own hymn book. And then don't forget to press the play again. Same for Bible verses. You can hit the pause, but always remember to hit the play again. Somebody once said, I could talk for Ireland, or I have a quota of words I need to use, and this is part of it for the day. The Lord's been good. 143, Blessed Assurance. Verses. That should be that. This is my song, praising my Savior. are going to just have our announcements time, and then we are going to have our Bible reading this morning. So there we go. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 6. You can take and turn there. Again, you can just press the pause and go from there. But I just want to remind you of a few prayer requests. First of all, just pray for each other. If I neglected your name whenever I was calling out people's names in the congregation at the start of the service, my apologies. You're prayed for every day anyway. Not just in our recorded prayers, but in our private devotions and prayers as well. So don't forget and pray for each other. Wouldn't it be nice to know you're prayed for two or three or even four or five times a day? It would be truly wonderful to know, not that you're being told on to God, but they're being mentioned to God and called out to God for help, because I can guarantee you there's many a person needs it, especially at this time. Do please pray for the Gilbert family. Ed Gilbert is a brother in Christ that we met in Black Creek Baptist. His wife Jane passed away there just a few days ago. Would it be about 4 days ago? Would it be a week ago? Goodness. We were able to, without going to the post office, we were able to print off an airmail stamp thing, which we stuck onto the front of the letter, and we were able to get a little condolences card sent from not just ourselves, but the whole church. And that means you too. So please do pray for the Gilbert family. Please do remember the Quigley family as well. Mrs. Quigley, a lifelong friend of the Moores, that's Pat's side of the family, Pat and Steve, went into eternity. I do believe she was a Christian, and I hope to see her again. But please do pray for the rest of her family that they would be saved too. My wife will remind me if I have forgotten anything, because I don't actually have a prayer list in front of me. I know many of us have private prayer requests, and I know that things will be difficult for those with their own businesses whenever they try to get the ball rolling again. But whenever the government, and it will be a when, it's not an if, but whenever the government re-evaluates the quarantine or the lockdown, and it's not even really a quarantine because people are still able to get out and about, whenever the government re-evaluates this, please be sensible. It's not a reason to run out in your shorts and t-shirt and bare feet, spitting and slabbering all over each other, because in the past these things have reared their heads again, even worse. So please be careful. Please do pray for Boris Johnson, for Arlene Foster, for President Trump, for Premier Putin, I think it's President Xi in China, for Kim Jong-un, if indeed he is still alive in North Korea, and if he isn't, for those that are running the country. For South Korea, Australia, Japan, for Israel especially, we are commanded to pray for, and not just pray for, but to bless and want the best for Israel. For Canada, for South America, for Africa, and of course for Europe. And all the other little countries in the world, everybody is affected by this. Please do pray for leaders to make the right decisions, not for their appearance, but for their people. And I have a funny feeling that there's a lot of people in this world are working on what looks right and what's best for them, and they're in positions where patriotism is supposed to be the driving force, not their bank balance. Please do pray that these souls would be greatly convicted about sin and judgment to come and their use of or abuse of the power that they've been gifted with. Please do remember that. Are there any other prayer requests, Mrs. Bradfield? Right. Please do remember Pastor Asquith and Pastor Hain over in Black Creek. I have a list of other pastors. There's Ed Bissett. He was already mentioned this morning, and Brother Stan up in Bangor and the folks he tends to up there. Please do pray for the Fox, Alan Fox, and the church that he looks after over in America. Please do remember Brother Forrest. He's not at all well. Please pray for him. We're not forgetting as well some of the other men locally, not in Baptist churches, but I do believe they're saved and and preaching that folks need to be saved too. For Julian Patterson, for Ian Brown, for Johnny Campbell, for Johnny Crane, and especially for his sister Sarah as well. Please do pray for her. We have many, many prayer requests. My Auntie Phyllis, thank you all for your prayers. She was, seemingly she had a perforated gallbladder, which means it was leaking poison into her body, which made her quite ill. She's on antibiotics with, in her near future, surgery to remove her gallbladder. So please do pray for her. She would be nearly, I would say, coming up on 80. And if you're listening to this, Auntie Phyllis, and I got your age wrong, please forgive me. But it's ironic that she was just ringing up to offer me condolences and prayers just a week before this happened to her. So my first words to her, welcome to the club. Welcome to the people with gallbladder problems that might be facing surgery club. So please do continue to pray for her as well, and thank the Lord for answered prayers and getting her home. Amen. Private prayer requests are still entertained. We might not see your hands up, but I know every single one of us has a private prayer request, at least one, for sons and daughters and grandchildren, for mothers and fathers, for friends, for lost loved ones. And yes, I even pray for eBay, and you know what? It works. God is good. If you will let him into your life to operate there a little bit, he can do amazing things. So let him in. Let him in. Amen. I think that's about that for a prayer request. Mrs. Bradfield has a better memory than me, and she would be waving her hand or saying something if it wasn't, but I think that's about that. One other thing, I just want to say that our hymn selections this morning are from our Church of the Maboy Road. Thank you, Carol and Harry and Marie. If you do have a hymn selection or a hymn that you want for us to attempt to sing for you, we will give it our best shot. All right? But bear in mind, others may be handing in selections as well. So if we don't get to yours within the week, we will get to it eventually. Monica's very good at organizing all the hymns and things like that. I literally don't know what I would do without her right now. So please do pray for Monica. I think her hay fever, and she's finding out maybe a few foods aren't agreeing with her either. But I think there's a lot more don't agree with me than don't agree with her. And it's funny to have the shoe on the other foot. It used to be me that ate what I liked while she looked at it longingly, and now it's a bit the other way around. So please do pray for her as well. I appreciate your prayers for my continued improvement. Things are picking up again. Amen. All right, we'll have a wee word of prayer, and then we will... We didn't do our Bible reading yet, did we? No. Bible readings from suggested by Steve is Jeremiah 6 today. Thank you for that. And we're thinking about you all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength. Lord, for all the prayer requests and petitions that have been mentioned, I pray you, Lord, please, that you would deal with each one of us and with each one of your children. And we know that you can, and that you would many times if we just let you in. I pray you, Father, for soft hearts towards you, that we would seek to you for the solution to our problems and not to the wisdom of the world. As your word says, we should trust in you with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. Please, Lord, give us the good sense to give you a wee taste of space in our lives, and just watch what you can do with it. And Lord, that whenever we see what you can do with it, that we would give you more and more and more. Lord, I wish that we could all meet together. I wish that we could fellowship together. I wish that we could shake hands. I wish that we could just sing together and lift up our voices. But Lord, you know. And we're trusting in you. We know, Lord, that earthquakes, solar flares, and even tiny submicroscopic viruses are no match for you. But Lord, we also do remember that you said that in the last days there'd be wars and rumors of wars. famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. And for many of us, these things have only happened on TV. Lord, how are we dealing with it now? I pray, Lord, for the people in Africa that are suffering through this big locust swarm again. Lord, if there's any way to use those locusts, would you give somebody an idea, Lord, how to use the, to eat them, to do whatever. Lord, please, I pray, give somebody wisdom somewhere. Farm them, do something, Lord. I just thank you for loving us, Lord, and we thank you for your Son. For those that are mourning still, please comfort them, Lord. For those that are sick, please, I pray, you heal them. For those that are downcast, I pray that you would lift them up. Lord, I pray you for those that are needing patience, I pray you for patience and grace. But Lord, just thank you. Thank you for your Son and for your word. Thank you for the great free gift of salvation, for the most noble of purposes. And Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We rely on you, Lord, lots this morning and throughout our lives. Please, Lord, I pray you don't be done with us. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, for those that are sick at this time, Lord, if it would be your will, recover them. For those that have lost loved ones, Lord, please comfort them too as a result of all of this. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. We are going to be in Jeremiah chapter 6. Thank you, Brother Steve, for your reading suggestion. I hope I'm doing a passable job as your stump double when it comes to doing the Bible readings. Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's turn and read. The Word of God says, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth Hakerem, for evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees, and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields, and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses. Set in array as men of war for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof, our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corrupters. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing hymn number 305. That is, Yield Not to Temptation. 305. Yield not to temptation. Where are we? There we go.
Yeah.
Let's put our hymn books away and take our Bibles this morning again. And if you would, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. That's 2 Kings chapter 5, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. And my Bible is about a fifth of the way through it from Genesis towards the New Testament, about a fifth. Just grab about a fifth of the pages and pull them over, and you should be somewhere around 1 or 2 Kings. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. Would like to take a little while this morning and spend some time on the subject of there is only one. There is only one God and one way to Him. There is only one. Right. The Word of God says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And the servants came near and spoke unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, "Wash and be clean," and be clean?' Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none.' And he urged him to take it, but he, that is Elisha, refused. And Naaman said, 'Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth?
For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth upon my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. And he departed from him a little way. Amen. There is only one God and only one way to him. Amen. Let's have another word of prayer. And then we will continue. Heavenly Father, I pray you for wisdom as we read and study through this little portion of your word. And I pray you, Lord, for a healing and a saving for all those that would put their faith in you, Lord, and trust in you, and just do what you say. Just like Naaman. Lord, bless this time that we have put aside to spend in your presence. And we know, Lord, that there will be many that take time to listen to this word. I pray you, Lord, a blessing, whether they're here, in America, in England, in the north and the south, just wherever they are, Lord, that you would please help us to be a help. Please give me the words to speak, Lord, just love you and thank you. And we ask the same for every preacher of your word this day and all the other days, as those that love souls and want them saved and walking in the streets of gold, bring your word. Love you and praise you. Ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. A number of times in the past, as I have read through the book of Kings and Judges and 1st and 2nd Samuel, I noticed that I don't have very many portions of God's word underlined or marked out, because once you get to reading, it's like, it's exciting. And it just draws you through, and before you know it, you're through whole chapters and you haven't underlined anything. But Naaman the leper, he was a great soldier and he worked really, really hard. In fact, his master, the king of Syria, he really loved him. And he was a good fighter and he was well trusted by the king, but he was a leper. He was laggard with the disease that basically meant someone's life was over. He couldn't be with his wife. He couldn't be with his children. He couldn't keep company with the men that he led. In fact, do you know what? Even the king would have had to have been careful around Naaman for all of the good man. And I want you to remember at the very, very start of 2 Kings chapter 5, the word of God said that the Lord was using Naaman. And we see that as he used Naaman, he saved Naaman too. Anyway, now this was going to be the sad lot of Naaman for the rest of his life, until, not by chance, but God planned it, because this little servant girl, she cared about the man that was now her provider and her master. She said, if only my master lived in Israel, he could go and get himself cleansed of this leprosy. Now this was a big thing, and the king thought that much of Naaman that he said, go and get it done, make sure you do it. I'll send a letter to the king of Israel and I'll tell him to heal this most trusted, most loved of my soldiers, of my servants. So Naaman went with a ton of money and clothes and a company of soldiers, and he came to the king of Israel. Now you need to know one thing. Back in the day, all the children of Israel were divided into two kingdoms. One was the kingdom of Judah and the other one was the kingdom of Israel. And the kingdom of Judah was supposed to be the godly side of the children of Israel, and the kingdom of Judah was the worldly side of the children of Israel. And so they come to the king of Israel with a letter and with a request from the king of Syria, heal my servant Naaman. And the king thinks, how am I supposed to do that? Am I God? Am I God that can do things like this? Remember the words in the
of the Lord in the New Testament, with men these things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. So he rent his clothes. He was that exasperated. He was that distressed. He thought that there was no way out here. And you know what? The Lord had actually commanded in the commandments that the high priest and the king was never to rend their clothes. But this was a sign of great distress. And it got about. And Elisha, Elijah's successor, who received a double portion of Elijah's spirit, he heard about it. And he sent to the king and said, "Send that fella to me." I can almost see him just saying, "Send that fella down to me and I'll sort him out." Because Elijah was a rough sort of a character. And I am sure Elisha seemed to get a double portion of that spirit. But he said, "Send the king to me so that he knows there's a God. So that he knows there is a prophet in Israel." The worldly part of the children of Israel. So Naaman goes to visit Elisha. And he knocks on the door and there's a big company of soldiers. I'm sure it didn't go unnoticed. And Elisha doesn't come out to him. Elisha sends his servant. And he says to Gehazi, "Gehazi, tell your man to go and dip himself 7 times in the Jordan and he'll be healed. He'll be healed of his leprosy." So Gehazi goes out and says, "My master says, go and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be healed." And Naaman, he got bent out of shape. He was probably expecting thunder and lightning, maybe a bolt of lightning to hit him and to burn all the leprosy away. Or for Elisha to come out and to call down the very power of God. And he went away annoyed. Now, you have to remember one thing. In years gone by, if you ever annoyed a man in a position of power like that, you could end up losing your life. So his servants, they come to him and they speak unto him, I am sure, very gently, because they start with, "My father." And they said to him, look, my father. If Elisha had said to you, go and do some mighty deed, you would never have thought twice about going and doing it, would you? And he said, well, you know what, you're right. So if he's only asking you to do a simple thing, a straightforward thing, why would you not do that? And so he goes and he dips himself 7 times in the Jordan and his flesh comes to him again like the flesh of a little child, it says in verse 14. And then he goes back to Elisha and he says, thank you so much. Please take something for all that you've done. And Elisha says to him, do you know what? I won't. I am not going to take anything. This is a gift from God to you. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it's not of works. It's the gift of God. It's so that you can go and that you can say, God saved you. Now, Naaman has gone through a life-changing, soul-changing experience. And he realizes that there is only one God in the world, because this was the only one that was able to recover him of his leprosy. And he says, I have just one thing, Elisha, he says. I will worship God for the rest of my life, but my master, he's still a pagan and he still goes to the temple of Rimmon. And he needs for me to be there to lean on me. Whether he was elderly or whether he always wanted that man there because he was a great man of valor, he said, the Lord, please forgive me for that. It's not an excuse to follow up on sin, but the Lord gives wisdom in these things. We do all know, of course, as you read on, that after that, Naaman, he heads home again. And he's not that far away when the Elisha's servant runs up and says, There's been a couple of young men have come to visit my master, and would there be any way you could give me a couple of changes of clothes? And Naaman says, sure, here, take the clothes and a wee bit of money. Of course, the Spirit of God, always with Elisha, showed him what Gehazi had done. And Elisha said, the leprosy that came off Naaman, may it cleave to you forever. And Gehazi, just in that very moment of time, was struck down with leprosy. There are consequences for sin, and there are great and wonderful consequences for salvation. This is, again, a great example of men's relationships with God. And just like Naaman, we all have ideas about ourselves. And some of them are even based on the truth. Naaman was a great warrior and had done great things and was a man of honor, but he still was a leper. And leprosy was like a type of, as an example of sin. It can creep in anywhere, and if you keep company with people with leprosy, the odds are that you're going to get leprosy. If you keep company with the people that drink and smoke and carouse and do drugs and use bad language and tell filthy stories, the odds are it's going to creep on to you eventually, and you may not even notice until it's too late. It's pretty much God's way of saying, look, no matter how great or how little you are in the sight of the world, you're a sinner. And you're no greater a sinner or no less a sinner than anybody else. And there is no greater or lesser need for salvation we have than anybody else. And sometimes, I'm not saying sometimes, every time, the answer to man's sin is a simple one. Repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Naaman thought it was going to be a grand thing, and many people do today think that salvation is a grand, lifelong work that needs to be accomplished. Naaman said, I would be far better going to the great rivers in Damascus. You have to remember the Jordan just wasn't that far away. It was handy, it was simple, it was straightforward, and it was easily achievable. And you know what? There are some people that have gotten saved through all of this. And I am so glad. And there are some new contacts, new fellowships that have been made for this. And I am so glad that it's been simple things. In Naaman's case, it was a little servant girl from a country that was under attack and under the governance of Syria. For you or I, for any lost soul, or even for a wayward Christian soul, the road to God could be as simple as a leaflet through a door, just with the simple presentation of the gospel. You are a sinner. You need a Savior. Tell God you're sorry for your sins. Mean it from the bottom of your heart, and He will save you. It could be an old Sunday school lesson. How many of us sat in Sunday school or in the wee good news clubs that I remember sitting in them on a Saturday morning and a Saturday afternoon? Or maybe just a tiny wee part of a sermon, or a line from, we did one of the old hymns, or maybe, do you know what older people are like? One of those eye-rolling comments that Granny makes about your soul and whether you're going to heaven or hell. Maybe it's a silent prayer answered. One of those made the biggest difference in my life. Or maybe it's fishing a net. That really brought Peter's view of himself into context, and he cried, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." It's the simple things. And if we were to go back a book to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're dealing with, excuse me, Elijah, Elisha's predecessor. And he's just after running away into the desert, and he's scared for his life. And he said, I have been... 1 Kings 19, verse 10, he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he, that is God, said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? It wasn't the huge, impressive, awful, terrible things. And I mean that in the biblical sense, things that are just so hard for us to contemplate, that God deals with us. It's not God doesn't deal with us and make us fearful. He doesn't deal with us and overload us with pleasures and sensation. He speaks to us reasonably in a still and small and a measured voice. In the end of it all, the healing for Naaman was simple. He just had to go and ask God's servant. It was local and it was complete. And it's the same for the salvation offered by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple because Jesus paid for it all. I know there are a few people that have had to make a few purchases to keep people sane. And maybe they're putting a credit card and you think, well, I'll be back to work by the time the bill comes round. But I'm afraid that hasn't happened for a lot of people. And then a simple purchase has gone to something that's anything but simple. But Jesus paid for all of our sins on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. All of them. The ones you had committed up to the point that you get saved, and the ones you've committed since then, as you have stumbled and fell and learned to walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord, Jesus has paid for them all. There's nothing else to be done. There is no prayer that can pay for a sin. There is no amount of money put in the plate that can pay for a sin. There is no praise to be lifted up that pays for a sin. Jesus paid for it all. And if somebody says, you need to do this so that your sins will be forgiven, they're lying to you. Even the Pharisees and all their apostasy said in the presence of Jesus, who can forgive sins but God only? It's between you and God, and it was done by Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator. Anyway, Jesus paid for it 2,000 years ago. It's simple. It's handy. It's local. You can get saved anywhere. You don't have to wait to go to one of the big swanky churches that's like 300 or 400 or 500 years old. You can get saved at McDonald's. You can get saved in the front or back seat of your car. You can get saved at the foot of your bed, on your couch, in your dining room when you're out in the country, having a walk, contemplating everything that's going on. You can be saved anywhere. Because God is everywhere. And really all that he's looking for is a broken and contrite heart. One that realizes they are a sinner. One that's prepared to admit, you know what, Lord, I am a sinner. I've been wrong. You are right. Would you please save me? That's all it takes. And it says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your lips the Lord Jesus, if you ask him, and you trust him and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you trust that he's paid for your sins, the Bible says you'll be saved. That's all there is to it. And it's complete. The Word of God says he saves us to the uttermost. From everything we've ever said or done. Just like Naaman's flesh came back as the flesh of a little child. No marks or abrasions. No, as you go on in life and you get your scars and the hard parts in your skin and your nicks and
Anyway, his flesh came back to him, brand spanking new. And that's it. It's simple. And it's straightforward. But more than that, it's the only way. It's free. It's forever. And it's for sure. You can't lose it because Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand. And you can go as far as you like with it and do as much with you like with it. But you'll not get into heaven without it. If God had charged for salvation, there would always be somebody somewhere that couldn't pay it. But just like Elisha made it free to Naaman, he being a great man in the world, so the price is the same to the man that lives under a bridge or to the man that lives in the nicest house in town. It's free. Some might say, well, I would rather spend my life doing good works and putting money in the plate. I would rather spend years in church. I need to do something for it. Well, the truth of the matter is you can't. You can do something with it, but you can't do something for it. In the words of Elisha, said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. Even when urged to take a gift, he refused. Otherwise, it's not a gift. The Lord only wants one thing from you, and that is to listen to him in salvation and for the rest of his life. He has got the only way your life will turn out right, written down for you. And he will give it to you a day at a time, whenever you ask him, whenever you obey him. I want to give you a few examples, some of which we have covered before over the last week or two. I have three examples of God giving the people that are his and that are supposed to be following him strict instructions about the way to do something and the awful consequences of not doing it. In Genesis chapter 2, God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to remember what comes next. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the Togogi tree, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. One commandment, and we weren't able to keep that. And we know what happened. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and there has been trouble ever since. In the book of Numbers, when the Lord was speaking to Moses about watering the children of Israel, in Numbers 20, Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Speak unto the rock, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered together the congregation before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. The water came out abundantly, and the congregation drunk, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Because Moses was going to say, a cut short life at about 120 years old, his life was cut short. And then, and probably one of the most famous examples, one that's celebrated even today, is the Passover in Exodus 12 and 21. This final slap in the face of all the things that the children of Egypt worshipped, This would be the death of the firstborn. Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in to your houses and to smite you. Simple instructions. Easily remembered. And yet, so many people have suffered so much because of their being rejected or disobeyed. The children of Egypt all lost their firstborn, and so did any of the children of Israel that refused them, refused God's instructions. And it is the same today. There is an even greater toll upon the whole of mankind for the rejecting of Christ as his Savior. He says there is an eternity to be gained in heaven and an eternity to be shunned or rejected in hell. How do we get there? Well, in John 14, Jesus said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The apostles recorded in Acts chapter 4 that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. In other words, it's not through another prophet. It's not through another name. It's not through your lifestyle, your parents, your feelings, or your achievements. It is not through your government. It is not even through your church that you will be saved. It is through your faith in Jesus Christ alone and his finished work on the cross. But what do I have to do to get it? Do I have to do some wonderful task? He said, no, it's simple. Between you and God, admit to him that you're a sinner and ask him to be your Savior. Trust in that work that Jesus Christ did, not just for you, but for each and every person that has ever lived. Trust in that work and you will be saved. There is only one way. And anybody else that says different, I'm afraid, it's not your friend. They're a liar. And they will, if you listen to them, you'll end up in hell. And Jesus said, I don't want that for you. I want you to be with me right now on earth. I want, just like Adam and Eve, I want to be able to walk and talk with you. And I want to be able to do that in eternity in heaven with you too. So as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again for your benefit. And for my company, because I would love to spend eternity with you. There is only one God. Just like Naaman discovered, just like the Pharisees knew, there is only one God that could forgive sins, and there's only one way to get to him, and that's through Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to spend the rest of your life, the way that you will get to the end of it and be glad you did all that you could do, and that is by listening to what he says. Amen. And thank you. God bless you. Okay. We are going to sing our closing hymn. I don't even know what it is, but it is in the hymn book somewhere. There we go. Hymn number 355. 355. And thank you for the suggestion for the hymns. Very much appreciated. 355, whenever we don't get any, my wife is intent on getting us through all of the hymns that you know, with as few repeats as possible, and maybe a few that you don't. But today, our closing hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 355.
thank you again for your good time and attention. I trust and pray that if it's not new to you, that it will be a gentle reminder to you. God loves you and he wants the very best for you. But he can't help you and won't help you until you trust him and do it his way. Have a good day. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you in the flesh in the near future rather than in the far future. But in the meantime, stay safe. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Set yourself up each day a foundation in prayer and Bible reading and praise. And do you know what? Even whenever we're separated from people and we can't be round the doors, the Lord has brought us into the orbits of so many other Christians and believers. Please do pray. Things that are impossible with men are always possible with God. We'll pray and then we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Please bless it. Please take and use it and us. And I pray you, Lord, that you would use this to prepare us to face the next day and the rest of the week until next we meet in your presence. Lord, just thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, for your Word, for the Holy Spirit. Lord, for a job to do and a home in heaven. I ask all this, Lord, and we thank you for it. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. It's goodbye from us until Saturday morning, stroke afternoon, or in your case, Sunday, just whenever you get to us. Don't forget to click on us, to spin us up, to open your Bibles, to lift up your voices. It's up to you to make church wherever it is that you listen to this until such times as we can get back together again. We love you very much. We pray for you every day. Don't forget us and don't forget the brethren. God bless you.